Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again for this informative dialogue and discussion. This is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute Incorporated, which is a research arm for our nonprofit based in Nashville, Tennessee, Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. All right. And so we're grateful that you're again with us. Let me apologize to our listening audience. On last Thursday, I was away, and I take full responsibility for the little mishap there. We had a little technical issue where the show that was scheduled to air was scheduled for the wrong day, and that's my fault. But nonetheless, we had individuals that were gracious enough to run our studios, and Pastor Ricky Waller was on standby and ready to bring most important information. And guess what? The devil thought he won, but he didn't. Okay? We're bringing it back to you live and in living color. Pastor Waller's here, and we're going to drop it like it's hot. Okay? We talk a lot about making things different in our lives. For many, the idea of making a transition to something new is frightening. And the mere fear factor keeps them from moving and doing what they say they want to do different. Okay? Any plan without action is fruitless. That's why we're talking tonight from the topic we had on past Thursday night. A change is coming. Get ready. A change is coming. Get ready. Now, my monologue is easy because we have it in live and living color. And what I attempt to do with the monologue is offer you evidence, some sort of case study, some sort of background that frames the context of our dialogue, our conversation. We can't get any more original tonight than what we have right here with the man himself in the house, Pastor Ricky Waller. So let's get it, and let's have him come on with us, and he's going to be the center of our conversation tonight. But before I do that, I want to introduce him with this. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." I was ready and glad of it. As a new way is about being really or ready at all times. As I experience the joy of being off drugs, I continue to set goals for myself. I now desire to overcome all the other strongholds that were a part of my life. My solution was to keep the same intensity, utilizing what I had learned to overcome my drugs, addiction, and expecting God to show up and bring forth deliverance. Although I continued to stay rooted in the street life, I was slowly being restored. I needed to stay ready. I was motivated from those around me, in particular, my closest friends, Ernest or Newt, and Kim or Moon, who were separated from me and behind bars. Whenever I spoke to them, they would always tell me to keep doing what you're doing and don't worry about what others say or think. They had confidence in me and were hearing from others a lot of positive things concerning how I was living. This uplifted them because they knew me well. They didn't have to see in order for them to believe. What they didn't understand is that I was supposed to be free, but I really wasn't because my soul was still in prison. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now, 657-383-0944. The evidence is right here with us, Pastor Ricky Waller. Welcome, my friend. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor? Yes, sir, Pastor Doctor. How you doing, sir?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine. Been reading about you, man.
Man, I know about that fellow, man, you're talking about right there, man. That's very interesting, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
If it's all right, we come back to a little bit more of it. But let me welcome 3072 to the line and 8112. And it looks like someone else had called in, but we lost them. Call us back here. And listening audience, following us on Facebook Live, feel free to call us here and participate in the conversation. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. Let me just, for a second, Pastor, I'm coming right back to you. 372, how you doing, darling?
Hey, we're doing good.
Great. Yeah. They're not working too hard, are they?
No.
Okay. Tell them I ain't going to have that now. Pastor Wall ain't going to have
what?
It.
That's right.
8112, yeah. How you doing? Where you been all my life?
I've been looking for you, and I finally found you.
All right, then. All right. Well, welcome to the conversation tonight. We are really
thank
speaking.
Thank you guys so much, and hello, everyone.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing? How you all
we
doing?
Are
speaking. How you doing?
All right, baby. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Happy 4th of July. Are you veterans and independence guys tomorrow?
All right. Happy 4th of July. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
All right. So we're speaking tonight from the framework of the real life experience here about change. Now, the title, A Change is Coming, this came from Pastor Waller, so I'm going to yield the floor to him. Pastor, talk to us about change. But do you mind if I let Tremaine tell us a little bit about change, and then you pick up there, Pastor Waller?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's
would that
good.
Be all right? All right, just for a minute.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
About joy of what happens when a person do change. Mm. But for those that's listening that may not know and may not understand, it wasn't easy for me, but I made a decision one day to be bold enough to step out on faith, something that I didn't know much about. But I did. I went inside of a church one day, and it came from a man who stepped out in the streets and said something to me and invited me. And I didn't go until years later. Mm-hmm. But I had built up the boldness to not forget the invitation.
Okay.
And to shorten the story, I heard something. I heard him speak to me, and I heard him say that God was able. Now, the 2 hours that I was in that church, maybe, I don't know, a little over 2 hours, that was the only thing that I actually got that I held on to that I was able to handle. And that is thinking about my life and what I was doing and how I was captured. And I just heard him say that God is able. And I said to myself, I wonder if he's able to free me up from the things that I was doing.
Okay.
And when that time took place, man, I when the song was rendered, there was a lady used to come to church named Rosemary. I didn't even know who sung that song. I used to just hear her sing that song, man. And the way she was singing it, it just gave me the strength and power to believe that change was all right. There's nothing wrong with changing your life. And I had to be ready, though, Pastor. You read the scripture, says, behold, according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20.
Yes, sir.
Somebody, behold, I had to pay attention. I had to be ready because he said, stand at the door, and he knocked on my heart. And if anyone hears his voice, you know, it opens up the door, that he would come in and dine with me and I with him. And see, that was a two-way street. In other words, I just had to be ready for the knock to be able to hear the voice. And had to learn how to accept that change is going to hurt in the beginning because you're not going to feel
it. Wait. Hold on, Pat. You say what now? You say change is going to what in the beginning?
It's going to hurt. It doesn't feel good in the beginning. You know, the things that I was doing, I was overtaken by the chemicals that controlled my life daily. And if I didn't have the drug, in me, I mean, I felt sick without it. And so, you know, I humbly say that it didn't feel good the first day that I was free from it.
Okay.
Because I've been so used to being on it. You know, and all the other addictions that I do have. But that's what change is all about. And if you don't mind, Pastor, I can only share with you about what it's like to be ready. You know, you went on further to say I was ready and glad of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready for change and I was glad of it. And, it has to do with a new way. You know, the man being Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, and to behold, all things become new. And I had to learn to position myself every day as a result of that.
I see.
And that's what change is about to me, man. I mean, this is nothing to quit with. I ain't deviate from the power of what took place when my life did change. I started to get used to it. I started to get used to it day by day. It was awkward. It was different. And then I had to display it in my community. I mean, it was even tougher because of what I used to do, and then I experienced the change now. So it wasn't easy to carry it out day by day, knowing that most people that I was affiliated with that were still doing what they have always done, some of the things that I used to do. And it was challenging, but I stayed with it. Yeah, I stayed with it, man, and I still do the same thing today.
I have the same... Let me bring the panel in and see if they have any questions or comments to what we've heard so far. How about it, Outkast? Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 8112, what do you think about that? Are you there? Okay. 3072, what about you? What do you think about what you heard so far?
I think that all of that was great, and I can relate to, like, change. Yeah, like the pastor was saying, that the first round of the change is certainly not going to feel good because it's unfamiliar, you know.
What?
And you don't know what to expect. I mean, again, you're just feeling unhappy. But for those that don't, they find that, man, that change was much needed, and they wind up with regrets because they didn't change.
Okay. Now you guys know that we've heard Pastor Walla often talk about his experiences, and, in fact, he relies heavily on that, and we hear him reference it all the time. And he went on to let us know that he don't trust himself. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that was a little strange. That a man wouldn't trust himself. Now, there's a lot of cats I look at, and I look at them cockeyed and say, I don't trust that cat right there. But I mean, but the self. But he went on and explained to us what he meant by that. And I think when you look at his life experience and his story, and as an author, he's pinned his story to the book Still High. And anyone now can look at his case story, his life history. All of us have a story, don't we?
Yeah.
But anyone can look at his and find some hope, some guidance, some support. 8112, you back with me? Okay, I don't know. I guess maybe she's stepped away from the phone for a minute. But
no, I have not. Are you there?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
All
right. I said hold my hand.
Okay. Have you heard what we've
Pastor
been talking
Wallace,
about?
I got you. I understand exactly what you guys are saying because, you know, there's different changes in our lives that we go through.
Right.
And changes are what they is in your life, and they call life lessons to me, and some of them are so hard you think you can't hold on.
Right,
and
that's
as
true.
I always speak about, all I know to do and all I've known to do because I was raised like that, then I find out, oh, wow, you come from two sides of the fence, which I already knew.
Mm.
But guess what? They were both powerful fences that I had to come to the terms where when you go through things, you seek the good Lord, you seek Jesus out, and God is my grandfather and Jesus is my father.
All right.
True story. So there'll be a lot of things that's going to cross your path that you don't understand. It's called change.
Okay.
Because some things going to make you change. Some for the good, some for the bad, some you don't even understand.
Well, and I'd like to just add, I mean, there's a difference in changes. So when you're making a deliberate change, I don't know if that's what Pastor Waller was relating to, but that was
certainly
what I can relate
to. Yeah, he was talking about a good change. And when you come
deliberate
from a struggle, any change, if it's for the positive and not the negative, I say the power of positive thinking. I thank you, Jesus.
Because I was going to say that some people change and don't know they're changing for the worse, you know, and before they look up, man, they're so far in the hole to where they can't pull themselves out. But, yeah, those intentional changes can be the hardest to right at this point from wrong, and you're trying to do right, but it don't feel good because that's not what you're used to.
That's interesting
you say that, and I'm going to turn it to you, Pastor. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead and finish your 81-12. Go ahead, 81-12.
What I was about to say, I didn't walk around in a cloud, even though it was the darkest time of my life. What I did was I continuously prayed, and I had to, because without that I was nothing.
Right.
And I kept doing that, and I had people that have said they loved me in my life, and they kept on saying, "You done changed." One day I fooled around and I said, you know what? I'm glad I changed because you ain't bring me that power of positive thinking. So I don't need your negativeness.
All right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Does that make any sense?
It does.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes if people think they're tearing you down, they won't help uplift yourself if you are unable to do so at that moment.
That's true. That's so true.
And so I think what Pastor Wallace was saying, I can't quote what he said, but I think he was saying when he was down, the Lord brought him back up. And he made a change of his whole life because he got that power. He can do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me. That's a good segue, 81-12, into this question I want to ask. Let me just read another excerpt from the book. And I am intentionally speaking from the book Still High, where Pastor Waller is the author. That's our focus tonight as we talk about a change is coming. Get ready. Now, some people, 37-2, are not ready for the inevitability of change. We grow older, and every day we get older, we get closer to the grave.
Yes. I'll be doing all that. I'm trying to keep it walking.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you now, get ready, because change is coming. You understand? Things ain't going to stay the same like it was when you were a little baby. In fact,
it's already here.
What you've been through.
Yeah.
You better get yourself ready for the change that's coming. That's what he's trying
to
tell you.
It's already here.
Well, listen to this. Yes. Listen to this.
Yes, sir.
Pastor, I'm going to turn the flow to you. And Outcast, jump in when you get ready, man. In the book, he says, on page 57, my next agenda for change was cigarettes. I used that same technique. Practice not taking the first hit of whatever it is controlling your life. It's all wrapped up in the first hit. That practice still holds good today. Goes on further to say, lastly, the day I started to practice it was the day it started to work. I had to meet it at the starting point. Talk to me about that, Pastor. Now, sometimes we keep going back to our sin den looking for the first experience because we are unhappy. We feel empty. We feel as though we're not complete. Talk to me about that, Brother Bridget. What you mean by that first hit?
Yeah, that's amazing you say that because it is the ultimate hit. The first hit is the ultimate hit in my life. That caused me to last for the many years that I was controlled by whatever I became addicted of. And if you don't mind, before I get into that question with the feelings of it, 37-2 was talking about deliverance, and that's the key to it. Because it says, my solution was to keep the same intensity that I had learned to overcome my drug addiction and expect them to show up and bring forth deliverance. Although I continued to stay rooted in street life, I was slowly being destroyed. I needed to stay rooted. And so that's what that means when you said my next agenda for change was cigarettes, because that was an addiction that I had. And I used that same simple technique, practice not taking the first hit, because it's the first hit that caused me to get to the second one. It was never the second hit or the third hit. It's always the first hit of whatever it is that was controlling my life. And it's all wrapped up in the first hit. So I had to start practicing, and that's what I was doing day by day. Every moment I was practicing constantly not taking that first hit, because it only takes a moment to take that hit. And I got used to, even though it was difficult just getting used to, once I learned how to do it, I knew then that my practice was no longer trusting me. I was trusting my God, you know, the God that I had learned and heard so much about, and I started to take him at his word and things like that. And so it became interesting because I was doing something different, something that was bringing peace, something that I couldn't buy in a food, or I couldn't find in a cigarette or in the marijuana or in the drinking or in the drugs. You know, I was learning something I found that was that had replaced getting high, you know, or being addicted to things that was controlling me. I found something wonderful in me. Yes,
Pastor,
sir.
I want to bring you up to 2018. I saw on the news where it was reported three teenagers stole a vehicle. This was here in Nashville. And the police got after them, right? They pulled them over. Two of them got caught. One of them got at the gun, I understand, shooting at the police. Teenage, all of them teenagers now, none of them over 17 years old, as I understand. How do we bring the change necessary? And just last week, they had a carjacking, and one of the culprits was a female, 3072, a little young girl. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Now, how do we get to this change? Somebody help me with this like I'm 3 years
old.
Can
I say something?
Yeah, come on.
Man, I haven't spoke yet. I mean, so y'all probably don't even know.
Okay, go ahead, brother. You got the floor now. Go ahead.
The thing I want to say most consistent with what you're saying is that change is evolution, and it's never going to stop. That's the most consistent thing that the earth has, is that it's always going to change. Things are always going to evolve, whether you want them to or not. Whether you're willing to change or not, it doesn't matter. Guess what's going to change? The people around you, the things around you. You could step in your yard one day, see a beautiful tree there, a beautiful plant there, something you put there, step out the next day, and it's not there anymore because change, that's evolution. So you got to be consistent with change, and to keep up with the times, you got to be consistent with yourself, because you're going to evolve. You're going to change, and things about you are going to change, and things around you are going to change. So we all will change. That's my only point. I'm just saying evolution is change. So that's that's number one.
All right, appreciate that. Let me go to Pastor Waller. He was going to respond to that. How do we get to this point where socially our babies have changed to where they're this volatile in the streets? And more importantly, what is it that we can do with this, the circumstances or the substance of the change, to turn that around? Is there any hope, Pastor?
Oh, yeah, sure, there's hope. And I always have to convert back to what worked for me was a person that was inside of a church that I spoke about earlier that came out and said something to me. And I didn't change immediately, but what he instilled in me was hope. And I would say, if you don't mind, in the book of Colossians chapter 4, this is a good way for us to be able to get evidence of what God can really do. It says in verse number 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, that are without. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means to bring back the time when we were living unlike we're living today, in bondage. We were able to enjoy ourselves in our community, things like that. Then it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So if a young brother came up to me, I should know how to answer him if he asked me a question about how did I change. you know, what caused me to change and things like that. Or if you look at in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to share this and I'll turn it back over to the floor. And the reason why I know that change is possible and can be accomplished is because evidence has proved it to me. Okay? Now, listen to this right here. Now, I want you to listen to this, Pastor, because this is not anything that I made up. This is just something that I learned, and I learned to appreciate it. You know, once I learned to appreciate it, it became a part of my life. And that's why I said to redeem the time, listen to what these words say. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse number 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So to bring back,
listen to what the man,
bring back something that's like it's no longer in existence right now is up to the people who know how to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. That means that the harvest is plentiful. You know, the people are out here lost. The people are out here doing what they're doing, but there's not the evidence of the people who say that they love God, which is inside those buildings.
Right.
And being unequipped, you can't help nobody unequipped. You have to be equipped, know what the Word of God says, and if it tells you by way of instructions and you follow them, then that will present change to people that's out there caught up. It just may come up and ask you for an encouraging word for that day. Someone that's on their way to do what they've always done just may see evidence in you and ask you a question. And you should be able to know how to respond to them. And that's the thing that I have posted myself up to be evidence of what God can do just in case. Just in case.
So let me bring Lewis in for a second. Lou, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Lewis.
Yes, sir.
How on a scale from 0 to 10, 10 being the most, 0 being the least, how likely is it that a young cat is going to pick a book up and read about what happened 40 years ago?
It's a 2. The reason why, and I'm going to tell you this on a real truthful schedule, it's probably even a negative. Because he don't believe in the past. He's looking for now. And then tomorrow, if he got one, and some of them don't even feel as if there is a tomorrow. Change is a social event. Change is something that no one man controls. You don't change because you want to. As like pastor, you might have wanted to change because your situation was dire, but your situation was dire because you had a need to change, to adapt. It's only evolution, man. You have to change. You have to change. It's nothing in the world that's going to stop you from changing other than So if you stop changing, you're stopping yourself. You're stopping yourself from growing. Period. And young men don't want to read about the past because our past was treacherous. We were
Not only each other, but
we were abused.
You weren't abused. All right,
hold on, Lewis. Hold on.
Talking
I hear you.
Man, I was abused.
I hear you, Lewis, but I'm going to bring you up to something now. Let me hip you to something.
Okay, I'm listening.
Do you not know that the same challenge young cats have in the street today with figuring out what to do with themselves, how to manage their time, and how to make something for them, that's the same thing we went through 30, 40 years ago? Do you not know that? So ain't nothing new about it. Cats been killing one another ever since then. They still
killing
one another.
That's what's crazy is that fact hasn't done changed. It hasn't changed, but it has.
The thing that changed
about it is that those cats got worse. They more aggressive than you were.
And now the females. Now the females are more aggressive than some of the cats are.
That's the change. The change was in a negative variable.
Wow.
It didn't change. It just changed in a negative favor. It didn't change in a positive favor for our game. We didn't grow from it. We regressed from it. We lost.
Okay.
Well,
what about that 3072? What about that 3072?
You asked a question earlier on how did we get there.
Yeah.
Well, a part of that is the social society, the media, and then us at home failing to go back and correct a lot of the propaganda that's going on. You got people on females on Facebook calling themselves bad BTCICHs.
Mm-hmm.
And the men or the boys, that's what they looking for, a bad female dog. So what is the dog going to do, male or female? Be vicious, be an animal by nature and by spirit. For any female that go out there and hem somebody up for a negative, dangerous cause is a vicious animal. And I'm sorry, male, female, black, white, whatever, you should be treated as such and locked away.
Make it plain tonight. Man. What about that 8112?
Wow. Okay. 8132? Girl, I like your status, but I'm just saying. Sometimes people do make mistakes as young folks. I keep saying, people do as they know to do.
Okay.
Change is always positive, hopefully. Because sometimes
right.
we can also change to the negative.
And so
that's
true.
Why I keep holding on and I keep saying the power of positive thinking. I'm not the brightest star in the sky, but I'm not the dumbest either. So my point is to you guys, there's each and every one of us, to me, and I'm trying to wrap this up real fast, not get no speech, is that we all have different changes to make in our lives.
Yes.
And all the time, it's not by choice, it's by demand.
Mm.
And some of these kids don't know no better than to do what they do because that's how they was brought up. A lot of kids these days are not brought up with God in their life, Jesus in their life, which is one and the same to me. They're not brought up like that. So my question to you guys is this.
Okay.
How do we figure out, and I got a little bit of it, because I talk to them like I'm talking to my own children.
All
that's
right.
Part of it. I talk to them like I'm talking to my own kids. You go to your butt to jail. I'm not coming to no jail. You love me, I ain't leave you because I told you better.
What?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Ask them. I got two of them right here, right now. They'll tell you the same thing. My mama used to say, and that's what I said, you left me to go to jail. Now, if you left me because something happened to you and you was gone to heaven, you can control that.
Okay.
You can control that. But things that you can't control that I have instilled with you all your life is what I think Pastor Wallace also was saying, is that the change comes from within as well as Lewis, as Pastor Ruben. The change comes from within you. You have a choice, and the choice is your own. And you can't blame it on too many people when you got that choice but yourself.
No, you can change.
Now, I'm going to shut up.
You will change.
Well, can I?
Yes, ma'am. Lewis over talking to me, but yes, ma'am, you can talk.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention something else very disturbing that I saw again on Facebook. One of the rappers was being interviewed, and they were asking him about his love life and what kind of woman he wanted. He said he wanted a woman that was almost as hard as he was. He wanted a shim or whatever. The only difference he wanted to be between them was their sex organs. Otherwise, pretty much, to me, it sounds like he wants a man, but you're scared to say that. But, you know, that's it. So, again, back to how we got to where we got to, even with the females going astray now, that's all they have to teach them is the streets, social media, negative influences.
Say it again, social media.
Yeah, society have taught them that now. That's a good point.
And I don't understand because I don't know much about social media.
Think about social media is social, and that means that it's going to always be open to change. People are going to change opinions. They're going to change the way they walk. They're going to change the way they dress. They're going to change the way they talk. And then before you know it, you won't even recognize the culture that you're living in
because it's open to change, especially when you live in socially. We're on a social podcast right now. So since we're on a social podcast, somebody might even change their mind or their feelings or their environment based off of what we say tonight. Change is going to occur. Thing about it is, can you change with it, or can you get rolled over by it? By force or by choice, you will change. Everybody will change. Tomorrow you might not feel about things the way you feel today because you're open to change. That's right. Just who you are as a person. We social. We social human beings. When I interact with one person to the next, say my cousin that's in here, when he might tell me something that changes my view on who I was yesterday, might completely change my life just because of two
or
three.
Well, Lewis.
Hey.
Lewis.
I'm listening. I'm sorry.
I'll have to disagree with you there because the Bible said to train the child up in the way that they should go. So when they are older, that they will not depart from it. So like you were just saying, I mean, just because somebody fall down or make a mistake, it don't mean that they don't know what's right, and it don't mean that they're inevitably is not going to come back to what's right.
But
right.
does that mean if I take you to church every Sunday for 52 years worth of Sundays, that you're going to be holy? That doesn't mean that way. We all got a choice. We do have a choice in this change on some level and some degree. But does that mean that he's a bad person because he didn't change or he didn't go the way that you taught him? No, because he's under his own perseverance.
Let me answer your question. Are you talking to me?
No, go ahead.
So to answer your question, in my opinion, it makes anybody bad when they know the truth and they won't go to it. It makes you bad then. Now, to me, you're not bad when you don't know any better. When you know better and you still refuse to change, that's what makes you bad, and that's what damns your soul to hell.
I understand.
Let me jump in here. We can pause for an identification here. This is Talk Straight you're listening to. We got a new caller in. We'll be right with you. It looks like my good friend out of Selma, Alabama. Be right with you, Don, in just a minute. We're talking from the topic, a change is coming, get ready. And we've heard some negative things, some bad things. We've identified, to some extent, the problem. The good news is, Pastor Waller, when we come back, we're going to talk about the fact there are some people who've done positive things and can tell you about how to move forward and find a healing in your hurt. And listen to this just for a second before we come back. I believe this group called the OJs, they said, ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. Ain't no stopping us now. We ain't turning back.
That's your mind.
You listen to Talk Straight. from the topic tonight, a change is coming. Get ready.
Yes.
Good or bad?
That's it.
Pastor Wallace,
that's it.
Will you welcome Brother Don from Selma, Alabama, 3122?
Yeah, yeah, welcome, Brother Don. That was Mike Fenton right here.
Welcome.
Yes, how y'all doing?
Good.
Right.
Yes, sir, Mr. Doctor. I got something to tell you.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got the,
is it on
one,
that
I
topic?
Got the bright. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go
it's
ahead.
Blinking out.
Hello?
Speak directly in your phone, Brother
Hunt. I am. You can't hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Probably what's happening over at the 911 building, they got these new machines, and they are listening to us. But I was going to say something to you, Mr. Dockery, that you probably don't know.
Okay.
You remember I was Reverend Bevel's oldest son, right, which I still
yes.
am, but I'm the third child. There's two sisters older than I am.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm listening.
Okay, Mr. Dockery, I also want to tell you that before my mother left this plane, you had a meeting with me, my mother, and my dad at the 7-day of Venice compound. You remember that, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What's been going on, Mr. Dockery? Dan Nash, according to my father's story, was when he came here and fought for the right to vote, he gets out of jail. He goes home. His wife is with another man. He leaves from that location and stay with Miss Cooper. You know, Miss Cooper beat up Jim Card. So what's been going on, Mr. Dockery, and you've been always been saying, there is a network of George Soros in the South. And this network is just hooked up with George Soros of the South, is also hooked up with the Dixie Mafia. And that's what's going on here in Selma. Every year they go to Brown Chapel and have a gathering for the bridge crossing. And another thing that's real strange, about two blocks over from Brown Chapel is Franklin Street. That's where Congressman Benjamin Turner's house was. It was right there. It used to be Jeff Davis and Franklin. Now it's J.L. Chestnut and Franklin. And I want you to be clear of that. Sherry, my sister, now has gone to Africa. And that Poor People's Campaign that you see Jesse and that brother doing, my father didn't agree with the Poor People's Campaign. Matter of fact, that was one of his arguments.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Don.
That was one of his arguments that he was, he couldn't preach a Poor People's Campaign. That goes back to Genesis 1:29 and Genesis 2:15.
Okay. I don't mean to cut you off, but if you could, we were talking before you joined us about change and how it's coming, and I hear a couple of things that you're saying there. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? But give me a second. Let me let Pastor Waller reiterate some of the things that we've been covering, and if you will, chime in on that. Is that okay, for Don?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Pastor, if you will, speak to us about not turning around, but moving forward. That's you, Pastor Waller.
Once a person gets lined up with the power of continue ongoing change, there's no turning back when you have the knowledge. And this is why I'm speaking tonight, to let people know that this is a brother that didn't know nothing about how to change, didn't have no power to change, because the system is made up to bring forth things that can control your mind and your heart. That's what happened with me. It's called a controlled substance. A controlled substance will control, have control, of people in my community. And now I have experienced change. I'm bringing change to the table, to my community, to let them know that it is available and it can be accomplished. Now, the thing that I want to put emphasis on, as I read earlier, about that, how to walk not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time means that you can bring back, you can restore, you know, bring back good days versus what's going on now, those evil days. See, we can exclude the evil days once we get the information, as I share with you on this night right here. Okay, let me put great emphasis on this, if you don't mind. There's power in change.
Okay.
When I say power, when he said that, Leave the negative people way behind because it ain't no stupid. See, what negative people can do, will do, will cause you to trip, slip, and fall if you don't.
Wow. Pass the ball over, Apostle. I ain't going to lie.
Remember what I said
about power of positive thinking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hold on 1 second.
I heard what you said because there's courage. There's hope in what you said to me.
Right.
Because this
is what I tell
myself every day by the grace of God, the power of positive thinking.
Hey, let's let him finish, and then we'll bring you right back in. Speak directly on your phone, Pastor. Your voice is fading a little bit.
Okay, that's a very, very interesting thing to say, positive thinking. It's a part of it because when your mind has been regulated, as man, I'm speaking about me. I was on the drugs for 20-plus years, and I couldn't stay straight for 20 minutes. Now I've been delivered for 26 years, so I do know the power of change. And I don't mind sharing it with people to let them know, not just on drugs, in many areas of my life that I was in bondage to, and it's not enough time to tell it all on this broadcast tonight, but I'm just speaking basically about the first hit of whatever it is. That's what controlled me when I got addicted to anything that I like to do. I become addicted to it. I'm aware of that. So now I'm addicted to being free from the bondage. Which has caused change to take place. So you can become addicted to being free, of being a slave for unrighteousness. That's something that I'm experiencing today. I'm going to say one more thing, Pastor. I'm going to turn it back over to you, and if there's any questions or comments concerning it, it's okay. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I learned what the Word of God said to me. I started to apply it in my life so I know what it's all about to stay rooted and grounded. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, in my community, we did not know what the will of the Lord was. You see? And so now that I do know about it, instead of me bringing drugs to the community, I'm not bringing dope to the community. I'm bringing hope to the community to let them know that if you don't know what the will of the Lord is for your life, that means you don't understand it. But it's nothing like getting to know. If we put it out there, then people will learn just like they learn those behaviors that they're doing right now with the 37 cents Facebook is bringing forth and everything, because there's a lot of negative stuff that goes on there. In spite of the positive, the negative is there for a purpose, to control people's mind and their hearts. And once you've been controlled, it's hard to break a bad habit. But here, what it says about understanding what the will of the Lord is, man, that was amazing for me. Now I understand what the will of the Lord is. He said, go out there, Ricky, and let other people know what I've done for you. You know what I mean? In order to redeem, that means to bring back, get people free, teach them how to know that it's okay to be free, and they have to choose to be free and don't even know that they have a choice. So remind them. And, you know, that's what I do today, man, and I do it with the willingness, no charge. I'm doing it because I know that it works. Have you ever had anything in your life that you know that works and there's no doubt about it? Man, that's outstanding. What I've learned by taking that first hit, man, that right there can restore a whole community, man.
Sure.
Just not taking that first hit. I don't care how bad of an addiction a person has or causing harm. If you learn how to not take that first hit, everything is going to be all right. And that's what change is about. That's why once you leave the negative people behind and just keep stepping and bring forth that change and everybody starts to be aware that there's power in it, then you can see a community bringing back the love, the joy, the peace, the freedom, the celebration, you know, from day to day. And that's what we have a right for, man. And it has to do with the power of
for real talk, I want to get a point across. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Pastor Waters. I love what you say most of the time, but right now.
Yeah, this
I
is
have
the time.
Something
right
to
now.
Say. Right
Go
now.
Ahead.
Talking about tomorrow. Because my point is this. Because your life turned out differently and you made that change. It's okay. That's working for you. What worked for you does not work for everyone else, sir. God made a plan for you. You didn't make that plan for you. You decided that you want to do something different, and that's wonderful. I respect everybody that try to make a good change.
All right.
You said what I said. There's a positive change and a negative change. And sometimes a lot of us walk in different lights. And things bring about changes that you wouldn't even understand. I got that. But your change may have been different from the next fella or the female change or the woman change.
Give us an example.
Our life does not conduct nobody else's life. We like to tell them some things that they did not get that came from your life, and you probably said a whole lot of things changed, a whole lot of lives, and I hope you have.
8112.
100%. Yes, sir. Yes,
give me an example. Give me an example of what you mean when you say everyone can't have the same type of change. What? Explain to us a little bit more what you mean by that.
Okay, this is what I mean. You live the life. I don't know the life that you live. You don't know the life that I live. We're on a radio station, and we're reaching out to each other. I got that part.
Okay.
But some people have not been brought up with the good Lord in their life. These days, we're talking about the young folks still, too.
Right.
No,
we're talking
either.
About change. Change is not something that you try to set out sometimes to do, because sometimes things happen in your life. I had big changes in my life, and I'm feeling like, okay, I've been raised up with God in my life because my mama did that.
So,
and then certain other things happen to make, and then you have people doing different things in your life. Your life is what it is. That happens for everyone.
Let me jump in here for a second.
Please do.
All right. So we look at the meaning of the word change.
Yes.
And its very meaning is to do something different. Mm-hmm. Irregardless to, you may have been kicked. I may have been bit.
Yes,
somebody else may have been slung.
Oh,
but all
right
of us went through an experience. If
we
want something different, however, irregardless to what the nature of our experiences are, we have to change how we respond or act or maintain or conduct ourselves. That's really what we're talking about. Now, the truth about change is anyone can benefit from taking the steps or the process to changing. This is what Pastor Wallace is talking about. Yes, he uses his own context as a basis for what he knows, what he speaks
and
of.
And I don't mean no disrespect.
Hold on one second. And your point is well taken that there are many people. We have over 350 million people in America. There are many people from different life experiences. No doubt about it. Some of us share some of the same things. And we all have to make the choice, I've heard this tonight, to make the necessary steps to change our circumstances. Pastor Waller can't live in nobody's body, and he can't dictate anyone the changes they have to make. He's only offering suggestions and the power of what works for him. If you apply those same principles, that order, it can work for you as well.
Yes, it will.
We appreciate that.
And that's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point she's making, because let me tell you why. If Pastor Doc, you put it right there where it needs to be. If a person listens to this instruction, this is not something that we were talking about you can do next year. See, this is the thing about right here and right now. See, I speak about right here and right now. I'm the kind of guy that living for the moment, you know what I mean? I don't put off for tomorrow for what I can do right now. And that's the power of change. See, when change takes place, it's that moment, Pastor Doctrine, that a person has to be bold enough to do something that's not feel good. See, change doesn't feel good in that very moment, because if I smoke cigarettes, I want me a cigarette, and for whatever the reason, I don't know what somebody else's reason for wanting a cigarette. I could be wanting a cigarette because I just got through eating, and I feel like this is a good time for me to smoke. Well, I had to be bold enough to say, well, I'm not going to smoke. I don't care if I do want to take a hit of that cigarette because I just got through eating. Well, that's going to have to, that's going
to, I don't want nobody hit my cigarette. I don't let nobody mouth on my personal stuff. But Louis want to holler if y'all can get up my girl getting upset with my
mouth.
Listen, the power of change, go back to this again, Pastor Doctor. You know, I share with not taking this person. Whatever a person is doing in their life, if they want to make a change, it's all about that first, whatever it is. You know, that power, if I'm in bondage from whatever it is and I want to overcome that, I have to make sure I don't take that first one. Because if you don't take the first one, guess what you can't do? You'll never get to the second one.
Right.
If you don't take that first one, you'll never get to the third one or the fourth one or the fifth one or the sixth one. The only way you can get to that second, third, fourth, fifth one, whatever it is, you have to take the first one. And that's what I don't do today. I don't take that first one.
What you can see that everybody's addiction is not in the form of drugs and alcohol.
Right.
Some people
are
addicted
to gambling. Whatever it is. Yeah, whatever it is. If you want to overcome it, yeah, whatever it is. You're right. That's why I'm saying whatever it is. If you want to overcome it, you know what I mean? Whether you do things the way. I'll give you a good example, then I'm going to turn it back over to you, Pastor. I know a multitude of people that I'm working on right now to get them to come out on this ground out here where I'm on. Multitudes, and I don't think all of them done it the same way that I did. They just done one thing. They didn't take the first hit. I don't know what they was able to do not to take the first hit of whatever it was, but it's a multitude of people whose lives have changed, man, and I mean they're doing great things in their life. They've been restored, been redeemed, and they're living a better life than they used to live, and it has to do with being addicted to so many other things that they're not addicted to today, you see, and that's the beauty of the power of change, and that's what we've been talking about. You know, there ain't no stopping. Once you learn how to do it, it's nothing to it. It's just to do it. Yeah.
All right. Let me. 1098 has been patiently listening to us. Any comment, 1098, at this point? Question?
No. I mean, I'm just listening.
A participant observer. All right.
Hey, Mr. Docker.
Sucking it in, you know.
Okay.
But I say this, it was something came up concerning the book. Well, a lot of people are not interested in picking up a book.
That's true.
A lot of them don't even want to go to school. At the end of the day, if you put a basketball and a stack of books down, which one do you think would be picked up first?
Mm.
Well, at least which one do you think would be left of, Ralph Doc? The books or the basketball?
I know which one I'm going to pick up.
1098, I know which one I'm going to pick up that basketball real quick because I didn't know nothing about the book.
Can I say
if you're asking me today.
I don't mind. I don't have much time. I don't feel like I got much of a voice right now. So I'm just trying to get in where I fit in kind of situation.
Hold on 1 second. We ain't going to forget you.
No problem. I'm sorry. I'm just phoning in.
We don't want to cut people off while they're speaking. I'm going to come right to you. Give me a few minutes. Don't go nowhere. I'm coming right back to you. All right. Go ahead. I think you were speaking there, 1098. What were you saying?
Oh, well, you know, naturally, you know. I mean, if you go to a playground, you can put a book down or a stack of books. And two or three basketballs, which one do you think will be gone? Reverend Wilder said a basketball. Well, of course the basketball will be gone because, you know, a lot of people, they are not interested in learning. And goes back to this conclusion. If you don't want a Negro to know something, put it in a book. You know the safest place to hide your money? If you want to hide it in your home, put it in a book.
Yes, sir.
They'll go through the drawers and every doggone thing else, but they will not go and open those
before
books.
They go in there.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Let me go to Lewis. Go ahead, Lewis. What were you trying to say?
Hey, he just said something that took me back to where I wasn't even on. I wasn't even on that topic, but because he said what he said, that's not necessarily true. If I break in your house not me personally, just as a burglar, you know, the first thing I'm going to look for, your library. Why? Because most people like you will hide things in books that's valuable. Yes, we do seek out knowledge because everybody wants to learn. So that's not necessarily true. Second point I wanted to make was free
first
will.
Off, and then
if
first
go
off,
back, hold on,
then
I'm just
first
trying
off,
to
that
say
is
this
true.
Now
you can say
for the last
you can say what you do. Now I'm gonna let you speak, but I disagree with you. Now I'm gonna let you speak. But see, sometimes
okay, well,
you know what?
Well, you can disagree
you,
with me
you
now,
talk,
and I'll listen to you.
Sometimes
and
your
I'll
conversation
go back
is
to
very picayune. You know what I'm saying? Very picayune sometimes, but. I understand you're young, but first of all, you have to get out that picayune state. Once you get out that picayune state and realize that you don't know everything, which nobody
does. Hey,
are
you a man?
You know,
are
you're
you
going to be okay.
Man? Are you a grown man? I mean, for real, in general question, are you a grown man? Hold on.
Are you?
Don't disrespect me neither. Are you a grown man?
I am 100%. I am 100%.
My age and my fact,
100%.
That doesn't grant to you being a grown man, right? So it shouldn't, for my opinion. So
what
we
now?
Both grown men. We talking man.
You know what?
We not talking radio.
Right.
You're
a burglar now. Now see, I've been a burglar.
I'm talking to you as a
you
man.
You know,
we
I've been a burglar. See,
okay,
see,
hold
see
on
now we're talking about. I know you brought
Mr.
some more activity in. I just a word of myself. If you a burglar, you're going for certain things. You're not finna go and hit no books or whatever. You know,
how many movies have you watched? You never watched the burglar stab the bookcase to see.
We can't all talk together and hear one another. Somebody gonna have to be quiet. Go ahead, finish your thought, 1098, and then we'll hear you, Lewis. And I think Don is trying to say something. Okay, let's keep. I know we're passionate, but let's keep it in check. Let's keep it in check. Go ahead, 1098. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Listen to
but now, realistically speaking. Lewis, hear the truth. The average person that breaks in someone's house, they're not going to go to the bookshelves or nothing else. They're going to go through drawers and closets and things in that nature. Now, you can say what you do because you are versed on this. You are aware of this. But the thing is this, a true burglar know what he's going at before he even go in the house. See? And I'll hold there.
All right. Lewis?
But I know what I've seen. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was done. I thought he said he hold there. I thought that meant.
Go ahead. You got it, Lord. Go ahead, Lord. You got it.
All right. So I'm just making sure because I'm not trying to step on toes and I'm not here to disrespect anyone.
Say what you got to say.
So what I'm trying to say is I done watched multiple burglar movies where they stabbed the bookcase first to see if the books were real or false. So they trying to do the little passage, even back to the 1934 or whatever passageways to the safe to find a way to the safe. They stab the books first. Most people, what you saying is black people don't look for knowledge, and that's not necessarily true. They look for telltale signs too. How you think the burglar find what they looking for? Most burglars are really good at what they do. Most of them, not all of them, not your nephew that's trying to climb in and steal that diamond watch you had. I'm talking about a professional burglar. Yeah, he's going to seek out the knowledge because why most black people feel like you do? If I hide it in books, no nigga will look for it. Hold on one second.
Let's leave it right there, and let me go to Don. Don, what were you trying to say, brother?
I don't think they hear Pastor Waller. And I think it's Mr. Farrakhan said something at my father's funeral, and I want the young man to hear it. He said, when your parents die, God take the scabs off your eyes and you can see. And Pastor Waller said something, and I don't think they really caught him, Mr. Dockery. he alliterated to something that I came to the consciousness of. You know, Jesus said, seek his kingdom and his righteousness first.
Yes.
And way we've been taught in this westernized culture through church and Christianity, it's done messed us up. Prophet Noble Drew Ali made a statement, turn the church and Christianity back to the European nations. And then I was reading the Circle 7 Quran. He said, Jesus Christ brought the temple of perfected man. And then when you read about Solomon built the temple. If you look in the Wisdom of Solomon, in the Apocrypha, it said, love righteousness, you rulers of the earth. You got to love righteousness.
Right.
Okay. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to seek it with a sincere heart. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
And Solomon goes on to say this too. Do not invite death by the errors of your life, nor bring on destruction by the works of your hand. Because God did not make death. He's the God of the living.
Okay.
So I want guys to start listening what Pastor Waller is really saying. Do we love righteousness?
Hear what I'm saying, because I didn't get to make my second
Lewis,
point.
Lewis.
All right, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt nobody, and I know I'm being wrong.
Come on now.
Hold on, I'm passing on to my mother.
But that's the point. Pastor Waller was talking about love and righteousness, and I don't think we really hear that. Do we really love righteousness?
That's right. You sure right, brother. You sure you own it. I know that. That's a good point, brother. You sure own it.
So
you said that, you know.
Let me say this. Here's the thing. Just like right now, everybody on this panel has a spirit. If we are wise, we may be able to draw something from everybody's experience, no matter how old we are. But for sure, some of us have been through some things, and there is evidence of what we're talking about. One of the most powerful things about Pastor Waller is he could have died in his sin, and nobody would have known why he started making the mistakes or how he even died in the mistake. But thanks to the grace of God, he survived this thing, and now he's able to share a testimony, a witness to how done what you're saying by seeking first the kingdom and all of his righteousness.
Yep.
You can make change in your life that will bring happiness, prosperity, success, and everything else that you're looking for. I believe that's what I'm hearing Don and Pastor Waller in agreement with. Have I got you all right, gentlemen? Just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, so there are some things that I was listening to 1098 and to Lewis. I think, Lewis, perhaps what you missed from what 1098 was saying is he's been around a minute, and I don't hear him funding that a lot, but he's done some things that he won't necessarily tell anyone else to do, so he's speaking from a base of experience. Now, you're a young man in today's time, and as I said earlier, what you're doing today is not new. We've done it ourselves growing up. It was just a different year, that's all.
Right.
But what we can learn from one another is how to move forward if we're wise. So sometimes just a little listening ear will go a long way. I hope that makes sense.
And also, you know, what I was trying to tell Lewis is this, you know, he speak of a social media, you know, television and things of that nature, you know. I mean, movies are movies, programs are programs, but in real life, it's totally different. It's not like you turn on the movie, you know, they're walking out of prison and they say 7 years later. No, it doesn't work like that. But at the end of the day, the point that I was trying to make is now you have a lot of young people that are interested in education. You have a lot of them that are not. You have a lot of young people that are interested in the Lord, and you have a lot of them that are not. Basically, I was trying to round that off like that. But at the end of the day, still nothing, take nothing. And don't take for granted everything that you see on television, which I'm quite, you know, he's a grown man. He realized that he can, you know, separate fact and fiction. And, you know, let me listen to Lewis and see what he has to say.
All right. Comment, Lewis?
My comment is that I'm not trying to say that evil was right or these young generations, everybody bad and we all wrong. That's not what I'm trying to get at, and I'm not trying to go against what you guys are saying. My only point is that in order for us to be better, we got to do better, and it's not about what you used to do. So to go back, what Pastor Dockery was saying was that it's nothing new under the sun. We've done it all. It's a new way of doing things, and it's not necessarily working for this new generation. the same old is not working. So we definitely got to have a new approach. And to go back to what was said about God's will is that God didn't give us, he didn't give us God's will. He gave us free will. We are all free men. We all make our decisions.
Hold on, but y'all going to do that?
But it's not about our will. It's not about my will or your will versus each other. It's not about this generation versus that generation. We're supposed to work together to build a better generation for the next generation. It's my only point is that everything that used to work for you doesn't work for us now. Because what they did was they made laws around the laws that used to be the law just to stop us. You got to remember where we come from as minorities. We are not majorities. We are a minority. So for me to be a minority trying to achieve things that the majority has, which is the American dream, the freedoms, the houses, the cars, the lifestyle, I got to work two times harder. And then when I wasn't given that knowledge, it wasn't passed on from my previous generation, which I'm dragging on the conversation. But even though it wasn't given by my previous generation, I'm not trying to discredit you guys, but I'm saying that in all situations, it don't apply.
But Louis, if you get hit by a car 40 years ago, it's going to kill you. If you get hit by that same car today.
Not necessarily. It might hurt, but it depends on where you get hit by that car at what point in your body.
Lewis, listen to me, little brother.
I'm listening. Right, but I could debate anything.
I know I'm crazy, but listen to me, okay?
Okay, I'm listening.
If you get hit by that same car today, it will kill you.
Right.
The lesson.
Yeah, I see you. Yeah.
Listen to me now.
I got you. I got you.
Watch me, Lewis. Watch me. The lesson is, don't carry your butt out in the street when a car is.
Exactly. That's true.
Now,
that's
I don't care what year it is you in. That's the lesson that will help you keep from getting ran over. Now, the problem is, we got some young cats who images in society from all sorts of media and suggestions and instigations got them think they're wiser than what they really are. And that's how they get caught up in the game. See,
Mr.
the Bible said, hold on one second. The Bible said that a wise man bridles his tongue. In other words, he be quiet and he listens before he speaks.
Right.
If you do that, you afford yourself the opportunity to avoid the pitfall.
To understand, yeah. That's learning. That's how you learn if you're not speaking. The weakest man in the
room
is allowed it.
Let me go to Don. Hold on one second.
Mr. Dockery.
Let me go to Don right quick. What were you trying to say, Don?
The young guy, I just heard him. And I had to come to learn this independent of my dad. I came down here to Selma University, and Dr. Tellis threw the word at me called the exhilio, meaning that you follow God into nothing. And out of that nothingness, you create. Now, the young guy just said, you see all these cars that y'all young guys be jumping? You ain't created one. Our nationality in this country haven't created one. So what you running after that for? That's what Mr. Doc said. Why run out in the street and get hit? Go into nothing and learn how to create your car and put your name on it.
Okay.
Quit chasing the Jewish guy's stuff.
Okay.
Quit running behind the Jewish guy. See, you unique and on your own. Quit running out their stuff. Go into nothing and create something out of nothing.
Hold on one second. I'm coming to you, Lewis. I'm coming to you. Hold on. Go ahead, Outcast. What were you gonna say, bro?
Yeah, you know what? When I was younger, I used a word. You know, I was I called myself in a debate with this older guy, which he was intelligent. And he kept on telling me, he said, son, you're a picayune. And finally I asked him, I said, what did that word mean? He said, you're small-minded. You're being small-minded. You want to blame everybody except yourself.
Mm.
And that's when I learned to to really accept responsibility for my mistakes. And I built a passion for trying to learn. I can understand where Lewis is coming from in a sense.
Sure.
You know, he gave me the impression that he feels that he's lost out on a lot. In the government has been all these crap before. But I keep telling Lewis this. You got to think past that. Look at yourself. Depend on yourself. You know, forget all a lot of the things that are going on in the world, Lewis, and concentrate on yourself. Concentrating on yourself. The country and all that. That should be unimportant to you.
Can I say
what
this?
You
can
do,
I say this? Because y'all got my mother and my cousin over here high-fiving. My life is different from what I'm speaking broadly. I'm speaking broadly, so I'm speaking to people. Hold on. Can you calm down? I'm speaking broadly about who that's my age and my age group. I'm trying to represent them in the best way I know how.
You,
this is not necessarily a personal feeling, but this is somebody from this era that's going through what I'm going through in this era as a young man. I'm not necessarily speaking from either your standpoint or vantage point, because I don't know if you have either. What I'm speaking from is experience, as experience that I went through, life I lived, things that I got to go through. When I get off this radio station, guess what? I'm still a real human being. I'm still alive. I still got to deal with the situations that's weighed on me. And the laws are based on the past, so that means things that your generation done, I pay full price for. I don't get half of the ticket or what they used to do to people. I get what they do now. And this is what we're doing now. We're talking about 2018 with 2018 situations, and how can you guys generationally build the gap between your generation and my generation. So what I'm trying to do is be a voice for my generation, is all I'm saying.
That's good.
So
that's
please
good,
don't
Lord.
Take it personal and put that on me personally. It's just I'm
Lord,
speaking broad.
Hey, I hope you know we appreciate your presence and your voice. But please understand this. Everything you're going through in 2018 ain't none of it new, bro. None of it.
I know that. Thank you for
all
saying
right.
that.
So understand this. Some of us have survived what you're going through, and we can tell you a little bit about how you can make it to 2020 or 2025. Just stop for a second and pick out what we have in the basket that fits you.
Right.
You may not be a size 7. You may be a 9.5 wide. It's in there.
Right.
Just listen, though. You understand what I'm saying? Listen.
I do.
And guess what? It don't make you a bad man to listen and learn. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a lifelong
learner. I don't want to be on the defense either. I'm sorry. I just feel attacked sometimes. But
I love you, little brother.
Hold on.
I
doesn't
want
to say something to you guys. He got a point to make. He's been listening to the whole segment. He just want to make one point.
Okay. Right quickly. I got 6 minutes to go. Go ahead.
All right. I'm so sorry to interrupt. My name is Veldog. I'm Diane's nephew.
Okay.
I just want to make this to this guy that's came on here and he was talking from his soul.
Okay.
God is upon you, brother. Look and seek and find yourself, because you are here among us all. And you understand what I say. When I say what I mean, listen to what I'm talking about in your soul, but not with voice. Okay? So that's the first thing I wanted to say. But going back to everybody about change is like what Lewis was saying, is the evolved situation, is evolution and all that stuff. And that's cool. And then we have other changes that's within our lives, that changes have to come from making changes, positive changes in our community, within our family, and within our understanding.
Okay?
So this is what I want to say. I'm so sorry for going over. Love everybody as if God would love unto you. That's the key to any and everything. So thank you, everybody. My name is Veldog, and I'm out.
Veldog, come back Thursday. And come on early, man, so we can get you in. We want to get you in where you fit in, all right? Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you,
Listen,
sir.
We got 5 minutes to go. Man, look at the time. Look, Pastor Waller, let me give you the floor and kind of wrap up this conversation because we began with you. Let's wrap up the conversation with you, and then we'll kind of make our way out of here. Well, hold on, Pastor. I'm just very briefly. 3072, a final word, 30 seconds.
No final word.
All right. Thank you for joining us. What did y'all do with my girlfriend over there, Mama Diane?
I back over here, baby. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Y'all help me more than y'all would ever imagine. And y'all have a blessed, safe holiday.
Okay,
and call me when you get a chance.
Okay. Thanks for bringing the guys on, Diane. I appreciate that, okay?
Yes, sir.
1098, final thought, man, before we get out of here, and then so we can wrap our conversation up.
Yeah, I just want Lewis to stay on, keep talking, you know.
Yes, sir.
He, you know, he's going to be all right. You know, he's going to be all right. I feel a little hostility, you know, but, you know, not at any of us. You know, it's just things that's going on out in society. But he has got to focus on himself. He's going to be all right. And then he can leave.
No, he's still here. Appreciate that.
Thank
right you. Give me 30 seconds, Don.
The young guy, I hear him, and I want him to understand that, yeah, there is a mechanism out here that's set up by the Scottish Rite Masons and the Jesuits. It was set up during Lincoln's time. And the thing is to turn you into a beast. He don't want you to float as an angel with God.
Wow.
He wants you to be the beast of the field. That's what Albert Pike said.
Okay. All right.
And that's what
what's going on in our
community.
We can't go there tonight, but okay. All right. Hey, thank you, Don, for joining us. Man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Let's see. 8112, right quickly now. Come on, I got 3 minutes, and I got to turn over.
Yes, baby. You guys are awesome.
Well, bless you.
I respect what you're doing, and keep doing what you're doing. You're going to reach out to all these young men.
That's right.
That's what you're supposed to be doing. As the brothers of our nation. And I love all that. Thank y'all so much.
Bless you.
Be
bless
blessed.
You, ma'am. All right. Thank you so much.
I'm sign off. Y'all be blessed. Let me
say all right.
No,
all right.
You ain't saying nothing. Be blessed.
All right. Pastor Waller, take us home, man.
Amen, man. I tell you, it's amazing. We just thank God for everyone who was participating tonight. I like to say a couple of things in my winding down. I'm in a community right here where there's a bunch of young brothers out in the street doing their thing.
Right.
And I'm in the midst of all of them, and I refuse to force the word of God upon them. But what I do as a messenger, I still have to carry the message to those that are still out there suffering. However, the word of God says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when I didn't know the word of God, I used to listen to what happened, was going on in the streets, and that's how I got captured because I was a good listener. Now, I was a better listener when I heard the word of God, and it changed my life. As a result of that, I share this according to Psalms 92 and verse number 14 and 15. It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
Mm-hmm.
Not in young age, in old age.
Mm-hmm.
They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. One day I got hooked up with him. And then he shared with me his uprightness. And he gave me an instruction to go tell others about it. My assignment is to tell it. It's the other people's assignment to hear it or reject it. And tonight, change is still in motion. So all of you just be encouraged and know there's power in the word of God.
Man,
just know
him.
He's all
Thank you, sir. You guys, we've been listening to Talk Straight. We've been talking about change. It's coming. It's here. Get ready for it. Pastor Ricky Wallace has been our expert for tonight. Still high, www.bfcinstitute.com. You can find the book there in our back page. Just go there to that website and go to the back page, and it's there, $15. Your contribution helps BFC keep our message going, and Pastor Waller makes a contribution to us as well. So we thank you for your being here, and we'll see you Thursday night. for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, signing off for now.